I a lot of times write something up on the board. I don't know whether I will this morning. I've got a number of kind of titles embedded within what I want to try to talk about this morning. But have you ever thought about we have a reasonable God? He is. In fact, He's so reasonable. All His ways are just and right. They're comfortable for our life. They're good for us to build what He says into our lives, because the fruit of it is love and joy, peace, long-suffering. Maybe you don't think long-suffering is a good quality, but the reason why sometimes we don't think long-suffering, because it requires something of us we always want Him to be long-suffering with us, but He wants us to learn to be long-suffering also. And that requires some effort on our part. But that's the fruit of Him being embedded, His Word, His character, this reasonable God that we serve, Him being part of us. This is the fruit that comes out of it. And whether you or I like the effort that it takes to be long-suffering with people around us, they'll like it. Don't we all like to be shown some mercy, have some long-suffering? Heard Brother Tommy a while ago talk about his daughter. And she's been off and on my heart and my prayers. I thought, I remember Luann. She sang at our wedding. And I thought, Luann, where did you go? What bars hold you? And I prayed that those bars will be broken. And we still pray that she flies free from that. That she will find. And we should be long-suffering. That doesn't mean we okay things that are wrong. But we should always be saying, Lord, reclaim. And help us, Lord, to know how to love and how to do our part. Sometimes it feels like our hands are tied. We don't know what to do. But in those moments, we can say, Father, go and talk with them. Go and sit beside them. Whisper hope when nobody else can. And I thank you for sharing that this morning about Luann. We want to see her come to full deliverance, that she does find exactly what she's needed so long. Oh, we have again a reasonable and a loving God. I would like to, and folks, if you'll let me, for sake of time and my old eyes, I can read better off my phone. And so I'm going to, I want to direct us to Acts, the 24th chapter. And I'm going to just account or try to tell you some of the story we find there. Paul had been going around preaching and promoting Christianity, the gospel that we know today. He'd been promoting that, and to some Jews it sounded like it was heresy. It once sounded like heresy to Paul. And he went around reasoning with people and trying to promote this, and some of them got very aggravated with him, and they apprehended him, and they brought him to a trial. And you know his situation. Eventually he was taken, he appealed to Caesar. So he was taken to this place. And in this process, he found himself in this chapter before Felix. Felix, when you read about him in Josephus or some of the other old accounts of Felix, he wasn't a good man. He was very selfish, as most of those carnal leaders were back then, very self-centered, and he did things that pleased him and really wasn't very merciful type of a man. And this is who Paul stood before. And Felix had heard some of his case and had put off another hearing, is what we would call it today, and kept him, though, imprisoned until he would learn more about the matter, try to bring in some more evidence, evidently some other witnesses. Perhaps there was a Tertullus, I think, was the man who had been kind of the lawyer for the prosecuting side. I'm saying this in today's language. This is kind of what happened. And Tertullus he laid out his case against Paul. And then Paul gave some of his defense. And Felix said, I don't see anything bad here. I'll deliver him to this captain or this centurion, and you be good to him while you've got him in your care. Give him his freedom. He doesn't have to be chained. Give him his freedom and let people come and visit him. And so it was a good thing there. But now he stands again before this man, who generally is a pretty hardened ruler. He had Drusilla, his wife, who had been, she was a Jewess, but not a very good Jewess. She wasn't very careful with her life. But this is when you read about her, you'll find. So this is a setting now. So we come to Acts 24 and 25. We find Paul now standing before Felix, a man who at a whim could have said, you're going to jail and we're likely going to sentence you to death. He could have done that. This is the type of authority and power that Felix had. And Paul stood up, and it says here, and he reasoned. He appealed to his thinking. Did you know God still says that? Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Let's talk. He made you and I with a mind that we might perceive. He's not trying to hide in some distant corner away from us. I will admit to you, there's sometimes we read the scripture and we might read some things that we don't understand. Maybe I just haven't developed mentally. I haven't somehow don't have all the information I need to understand what I just read. But God's not hiding from us. He wants to reason with us. He wants you and I to get to know Him. And this knowing Him is not a one-time, okay, I got a picture, I got a picture in my mind, and I believe I know who you are now. No, I've been married for 41 years to my wife, and we're still getting to know each other. Wonderful journey. Absolute fantastic. Our journey has been built on love. And as we grow, there's a lot of things we can just kind of look over at each other and we know exactly what the other one's thinking because we've had spent all this time together. There's this knowing. Did you know what? That's what God wants to develop with you and I. It's not developed in an instant. It's not when you say I do. It's a joyful moment. Yes, it is. But that's the beginning. And then he says, come. Let's reason together. Let me guide you because our Heavenly Father does know what is best and right for every one of us. He knows your particular weaknesses. And He loves us enough to sometimes whisper in our ear, child, you're getting a little too close to the tree. You're getting a little bit, you know, we call it the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, yes, this is part of the work of the Holy Spirit to come. This is what God, this is all the aspects of God. He has His Word and He has His Spirit and He comes down and uses all those to witness to our souls, to communicate with. And He says, there's reason together. Get to know me. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you'll just do it. And we can. The devil would love to tell every one of us that it's too hard or too difficult or too complicated. And God never told you, well, let me use a metaphor. I believe I've eaten more than one cow in my lifetime. But I didn't do it all in one bite. So now can we apply that to knowing the Lord? We don't know Him all at one time. We eat of Him. We feed on what He offers. And we understand, and the richness develops more. When I said I do to that woman over there, to my wife over there, when I said I do to her, I was enthralled. This was the pinnacle, I thought. But then we shared our life together. And I can honestly say I love her more now than what I did that day. I didn't think it could get better than that moment. I think as we reasonably, as we come and reason with the Lord, I not only think I have some experience now. I've lived for the Lord longer than what I've lived with my wife. And I can tell you by that experience, sweeter gets a journey every day. Serving Jesus really does pay. And so, Paul, now let's get back over here. I'm getting a little sidetracked when I talk about all those things. But Paul was reasoning with Felix. And he reasoned of what? Righteousness. What are you reasoning about righteousness with this ungodly, self-absorbed Felix, this one who feels like he's got all this power and authority and really doesn't regard God. He's just about himself. And what are you doing, Paul, talking to this man who could sentence you to death, and you're talking to him about righteousness? Well, you might make him feel guilty, Paul. You might hurt his feelings. You may make him mad. But Paul, you know, there's a pretty... Jesus said it like this. He was the light that lights every man that cometh into the world. Jesus said that. Have you read that? Remember that? He's the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Which means that every one of us at least perceives some of God, of His Son, Jesus Christ. We have maybe not a full perception, but some. And we're responsible for that we know. There's a universality, or universally, people know whether we like to admit it or not. Sometimes, you know, the devil will come in and bring such confusing thoughts in my mind that I will say, well, I'm not sure, you know, I'm so confused. What's right and wrong in this matter? I understand there can be circumstances that can get in there that sometimes hard for us to perceive. But when we back off and really think about many things that we face in life, we don't have to have somebody tell us this is right and this is wrong. Does anybody have to tell you it's wrong to kill somebody? Or how about stealing? Or how about cussing somebody out? Does anybody have to tell you that's not good? Does anybody? Do we need to read it in the Scripture? Does anybody need to tell you it's not good for you to become a slave to any kind of addiction? Universally, we know. Let me give you Romans 2. Paul was saying here, 2 and 14, for when the Gentiles, these weren't even Jews, these were people who were outside of the law, out there that hadn't been exposed to the law of Moses. The Jews have felt like, we've got the law of Moses, we've got it all. And you don't. And Paul was telling his brothers, his Jewish brothers, he said, for when the Gentiles, this is Romans 2 and 14, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law, they don't have access to the law of Moses, they having not the law, these having not the law, are a law unto themselves. How? Which show the work of the law written in their hearts. He is the light that lights every man. There is some responsibility that even the Gentile that didn't have the law, there was some responsibility God holds them to. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness. Now, if we're going to argue that consciences can be defiled, I'm going to say amen. Yeah, our consciences can be seared. Our conscience can be damaged. And we can squelch the voice of that conscience to the point that we can almost accept anything. God reserves a still small voice in every man's heart. And if we listen to that voice, it will call us away from that hard, callous places in our life. Every man. I believe, you know, you've heard the story of, you read the little booklet Sammy Morris? You've heard that story? Maybe there's some here, haven't you? He's a tribal in Africa, a young man. And I don't recall completely all the details of the story. Perhaps I think he had either been caught up in some tribal conflict and been captured by one side and was getting ready to be killed or tortured anyway. And he had escaped. And in the escape, the best he knew how, he began to call out for help. And the Lord miraculously brought him to places of safety and led him to a missionary group that helped him. And he, outside of even the missionaries, there was something that God revealed to that young man. He didn't know everything we know. You don't have to know everything we know. You have to love God. It's pretty simple. And let the Lord lead you. We don't have to be this monolithic. We all got to know it. You know, if you don't have my knowledge, I don't know whether I can associate with you. That's wrong. You know, if I see a hunger in your heart for the Lord and you love the Lord and you're seeking, I'm going to call you my brother. Whether you call me brother or not, I'm going to say, I see you seeking the Lord and you're my brother. In the seeking of the Lord, in this universality where God can take a young man clear in Africa and begin to talk with his heart, God's not limited. He can shine his light in that young man's heart. And quite frankly, when he came here to America, the Lord had taught him, because he hungered after what the Lord had showed him. He was faithful to the Lord. And he came here to America and found some of us that were so set in our ways that we couldn't even receive some of the truths that God had given that young man in Africa. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro across the whole earth, seeking for the heart that's perfect toward Him, that He might show Himself strong in that person's life. Now, I didn't quote exactly that, but that's from the Bible. That thought, and most of what I just said right there, was exactly what the Bible did say. God's interested in looking in our hearts here today. And He doesn't say, you've got to come to this certain amount of understanding or else I can't accept you. He'll take the two mites that you have to give Him. And He'll say, that's enough. You gave all your living and I'll take it. And I'll not leave you desolate. You'll be my child. And I'll feed you. God's a reasonable God, folks. He cares for people. Sometimes in our humanity, we can kind of... Don't understand. I'm not trying to break down things we know to... We should hold what God has taught us. But we should not close the door to people who don't know everything that God has taught us. We should say, come, as Jesus did. What did he say? He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He didn't say, you've got to know this first. You're really in trouble. You're laboring and you're... And if you'll just learn this out, he said, come unto me, everyone. All that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He takes the little that we can give. And he says, come, let's reason. Come, let's learn. Take of me. You know, some people, I'm not going to get very far in what I have written out here. There's some feelings, some teaching that we may encounter that say that when we partake of an ordinance service, that is the physical body and blood of our Lord. I won't argue too hard with those because sometimes that's just what they believe. But you know what Jesus said? He said, my words, they are spirit and they are life. You know what he's saying? He says, listen to what I tell you. God wants to reason with us. God wants to reveal himself to us. He wants to speak to our hearts. And when we read the Bible, again, we may not always understand everything, but he wants us to understand enough that our spirit will be excited. But yes, Lord, you're shining light on my pathway. Today, I'm getting this one. And it means something to me. He gave me some instruction for life when he... And I understand that sometimes we're all at different places on life's road. You may be able to get by with more expression of anger or something. I did when I was younger. I still have a scar on my thumb where I lashed out at something because I was angry. I can't get by with that today. You know why? The Lord's dealt with me in very personal ways. And I grew in Him. You will too. He wants you where you are today. He wants me where I am today. And He will nurture us and He will feed us and lead us and He'll talk with us. Time. Paul reasoned with Felix about righteousness. Felix, you know what's right. You don't even have to know the law. I don't know what all Paul may have told Felix, but it rung in his heart. He said, that man is just common sense. That is so true. What he is telling me about righteousness, I know it's so. He knew it was. I doubt if he argued with him at all. He just listened. He reasoned with him of righteousness, temperance. Oh, temperance isn't learned overnight. It's line upon line, precept upon precept, here little, there little. Applying God's word to our life is like that. The Lord will teach you how not to, we have the common term, fly off the handle. If you'll let Him. Because you'll encounter perhaps a place that you feel like this all rises up and you start. And the Lord says, child. And if I listen, I'll let Him temper me. Balance me. I had written down here definition of righteousness. and I don't know how good it is, but I reduced it to two words. Doing right. Righteousness. Just doing right. Well, what's right? You know. I'm going to put it back on you. We pretty well know what's right. What you don't know what is right, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to let the Lord deal with you. But what you do know what's right, do it. That's righteousness. I'll admit that on that road of being perfected with the Lord, I may look at you and say, well, you're not righteous very good. But I'm going to leave you in the hands of the Lord and ask you, entreat you to love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And allow the Lord to draw you into Him and make you more like Him all the time, because I hope you're praying that for me. I want that too. And when we do that, it changes who we are. And people see the difference. It'll be harder for them to call you a hypocrite. Love the Lord. Wasn't it Jesus who said that's the greatest commandment? I have, for temperance, I have two-word definition. And it would probably need to be fleshed out more than this. So this is self-control. Self-control. That's part of it, a big part of it. Being temperate. And then judgment to come was the next thing that Paul talked to Felix about. Felix, I'm going to talk to you about doing right. I'm going to talk to you about having self-control. I imagine both of those really struck Felix. And then he said, Felix, we have accountability coming. Judgment to come. I'm going to have to answer for what I did and didn't do. Judgment to come. That's what it says here. Isn't that what Paul said? And judgment to come. Felix had stopped long enough to think about what was being said. And he said he trembled. I think it smote him. I think it went down deep into his soul. And he said, perhaps not out loud, he may have said, he's so right. I know I'm going to meet God. I'm going to have to give account. I'll be confronted with the decisions that I've made and what I let happen in my life. I'll have to tell him. Am I going to tell him the devil made me do it? That was a term that was a little popular years ago, Sister Marcia. When there was an era of time when it was kind of a popular term. The devil made me do it. When I don't want to accept responsibility, I want to blame somebody, I'm going to say the devil did it. Adam tried to use some of that type of excuse too. Eve did. I always try to shift the blame, but there's, when we stand before the Lord, we have no shifting. The blame can be done. Judgment to come. And Felix assessed his situation and he began to tremble. You know what the best thing that Felix could have done? This big guy that had all this authority and wasn't used to being an humble man, he should have, when he began to tremble, he should have looked at Paul and said, would you pray with me? Let me seek the Lord. What you said was true. And now I want to reconcile with that one that I feel guilty before right now. You know, the Lord is a very reasonable God. He won't make us do anything. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He can break the door down if he wanted to. He could have. He doesn't have to sit there and gently knock. He's got heaven's holy angels, all the mighty angels behind him. And he told them when he stands before our door, he says, be quiet. Tap, tap, tap. If any man will hear my voice, I will come in and I'll sup with him and he with me. Such a supper that we have. Such a feeding on his presence. Such a soothing balm in his presence. Such a healing of the broken places in my heart. Such hope. But he comes in and sups. Such answer to the problems of my life. And don't say none of us have some problems, because we do. God help us to open the door. He's a gentleman. He's a reasonable God. And he loves. And I don't know where you are today. I don't know where our needs may be. But God does. And a gentle, loving Savior is standing at our door and knocking. He's not going to break it down. He's asking us to come to the door and open it up and say, come on in. Jesus did say to Zacchaeus, I need to come home with you today and dine. Zacchaeus was ready for it. Something happens when the Lord comes in our heart. Changes take place. As we walk with the Lord for a while, we know that change is not all completed in the first day. It's still that gentle touch, that gentle knocking at our door continues through all of our life. And whenever we hear the voice of the Lord, it opens. And he comes in. I want to do that. I want to be one of those that just opens a door, my heart's door, gladly. Pray for me. I want to serve him.